You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Want to go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 366 of The Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Oh, yes, another wild Wednesday. Hump day, folks. We're almost there. The weekend's around the corner. How are you guys doing? I'm going to say right off the top here. If anybody's been a regular listener will know in the last couple of days, battling here, folks. Yeah, little throat irritation, we'll put it that way. So I was gonna say my smooth sounding NPR voice is. I'll try to pause the coughs or get them out. It was a little tough last episode when I got Jay on and he's talking and I'm like, because I can't. Obviously, mute it because it'll mute him. So you're kind of you're getting that one in the background. I'm leaning away from the microphone. I'm trying to get away and ducking my head, but I'm sure it came out on audio. So I apologize for that. And then other times I'll cough and I'll just keep going because I'm too lazy to edit. But but yeah, I don't know what my deal is. Yeah, it's just throat. It's just. Oh, you wake up at night with coughing fits and shit. It's brutal. But anyway, how are you doing? Yes. So I guess the point is, the longer I talk, the more irritated my throat gets. So I don't know how long this episode's going to be. I'm sure once I get going and start droning on, it'll be a while. But what are we going to talk about today, folks? Well, well, I guess you throw Rempy out. I mean, I may as well dedicate the podcast to him because, I mean, that's all anybody's talking about here in the last little bit. But incident last night against the Rangers or against the Devils. And, yeah, we'll talk about that. From this podcast caused a little riff with a player, not with me, but a guest. Caused a riff with a player, and I'm going to talk about that. And then I have a couple lists. It's going to be back in the day, the Western Hockey League, they used to do a vote amongst the players and coaches. And there was a best in the East and best in the West bowls. Well, I have the best in the East for the 90s. So we're going to talk about who were the 10 best fighters in the 90s as voted, like each year, as voted on by the players and coaches. So, and they weren't allowed to vote for their own team, guys. So, I mean, this is the best, I mean, that's the best, anytime it's a peer group, I mean, that's the best kind of, opinion you can get, right? Rather than the couch jockeys out there. So, I'll cover that. I know I've talked about these before. I've done the individual breakdowns of the best in the East and the best in the West over the last, whatever, hundreds of episodes that I've done. But I'm going to do the 90. I'm missing 1995, but I'll do 1990 and then the year 2000. We'll do each year there. And then also the Traverse City tournament. I'm pretty sure I've discussed this list before in this article. It was a blog post written, by Hockey Fight History on X. Great channel. And I've known this gentleman for a long time. He's been on my show and, good dude. And he used to record he'd go to Traverse City with his buddies and they would record and, Plenty O' Heavyweight, came out of that. And it was basically the NHL rookies at the time amongst, well, I'll get to all that article, but yeah, the list is really solid. So I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before because this is an older blog post. I don't know. It came up. I was doing a Google search and it came up and I just like, yeah, I should revisit that because it's a cool list. And, you know, and some of the names are really cool. And, yeah, I'll go over that. So that is what we will be talking about here today. But first, remember the Hockey Podcast Network. There's over 100 shows in the network. Myself, Terry Ryan, old TR, Joel Lazito. We're all over at the on the original content creator side. They put us over in the corner. Actually, Joe just released part two of his interview with Darcy Harris. Kind of an undercover tough guy playing the American Hockey League. Didn't have a long career, but OHL guy and tougher than a left turn downtown, let me tell you. Look up some of his YouTube stuff. I believe he's a school teacher now. I've not had a chance to listen to these interviews. I certainly will because I'm a big Darcy Harris fan. Pretty quiet guy. I know he's not a real big, you know, he doesn't like really talking about the fights and all that stuff. Or, you know, he's not a real braggart guy or anything like that. But I know Joe, I can guarantee, probably got him out of his shell and told some good stories. He was in the American League for a few years. So I'm looking forward to tuning into that. Joe also just wrapped up a three-parter with Steve McLaren, one of my favorite minor league tough guys of all time. It was a great interview. So definitely give Joe's show a check, shout out. Why would you give it a shout out? Why would you not give it a listen? What am I talking about right now? Yes, check out Joe's show, Coliseum Chronicles. And I would include Alex Five for Fighting podcast, but he has retired, kind of. He has retired the Five for Fighting podcast. He's done fighting with the East Coast League. And, as I've mentioned on here a couple times, myself, Alec, and Jay, we have talked about doing a group podcast. And we had a kind of a little, whatever you want to call it, a little conference call the other night and, threw around some ideas and what we were thinking and, kind of game planning a little bit. And again, I'm not saying, oh, there'll be a, you know, we'll be releasing it next week. No, but, it's something we're talking about and, you know, we're going to proceed with just kind of come. We went to the interwebs, went to the Facebook groups and, asked, if anybody had, if could come up with some names for the podcast. We need a name for the podcast. And I gotta say, there's a lot of very uncreative motherfuckers out there. I mean, I could have got my wife to ask the 6-year-olds in her grade one class, and I probably could have got better answers than a lot of these. It's like, are you just trolling? Are you being serious? Like, come on. Yeah, you should call your show the Hockey Fight Podcast. Well, that's really good. I hope you fucking lied down after coming up with that one. Like, holy shit. Really? But anyway, I appreciate those folks that did send in their suggestions and were serious about it. We've thrown a few names around. Nothing's in stone yet. Just kind of setting up, you know, what we plan on doing. I think it'll be something where it's about every second week to start off with. And it's obviously going to be a hockey fight show, but I think it'll be probably more minor league centered, just due to all three of us are more minor league guys. Well, those two are current guys. They're in the East Coast. Jay does the Southern Pro League, of course. So they're much more up to date on the current minor league status, whereas, you know, I'll be the grumpy old guy in the back yelling about shit that happened 32 years ago. But, yeah, again, it's just something that we're knocking around right now. We've just got a loose outline. But it will be coming, I don't know when, but, you know, not sooner rather than later. You know, we just got to figure out how we're going to do it and scheduling and all that. I'm going to talk to the, I believe it's going to be on the Hockey Podcast Network. I have to talk to them about it. But in saying all that, the fourth line voice will not be going away. I will still be doing my show. Probably what will happen is I will do this show weekly instead of Monday or instead of Wednesdays and Sundays. I will have a Wednesday episode and then, or a Sunday episode, whatever. I'll do a show a week, weekly, and then this group show will be my, basically my second episode of that, I guess, you know, for lack of. So, going forward, we'll see. But the fourth line voice is not going anywhere. So maybe much to the chagrin of some, but, cause I did get asked that question. Am I retiring this podcast? No, not yet. I still got a little juice left in me. There's still a few people that I want to talk to and I'm still enjoying it. Yeah, I enjoy coming down here at night and hitting record on the and yelling into the darkness, and you know, and it's still getting positive feedback, and you know, I'll keep going, and you know, we'll see. But for right now, no, the fourth line voice is not going anywhere. So, but I'm just letting you guys in on it, what we're talking about. As I've always said, I've never lied to you guys, and I've always tried to be transparent, and that's what's going on. And and I from my perspective, or my deal on it is, you know, I think creatively it's something new, where it's a group dynamic. That's something I'm not used to, obviously, doing mostly solo episodes these days. So I think it'll be nice, whereas it's not just me coming up with stuff. So you know, three heads are better than one. So you know, and we talked about, oh, maybe we'll do this segment or that segment. We can do different things and stuff like that. So, but it will be obviously hockey fight centered, and yeah. And I've always said I think I have a very good. I think Jay and Alec and I really gel well. We have done group like on my show in the past with the Ice Wars preview and review shows and the Minor League Mayhem review shows. And, and that's what kind of gave me the idea to do a group show. Cause I really enjoyed, those are some of my favorite episodes, with those two guys. And, yeah. And I know Alec was getting kind of fed up doing his thing on his own and, you know, kind of hit and miss and, you know, was kind of lost and lost the passion. And I mean, Jay's never had a podcast, but he's been on my show a number of times, including last episode. And, I think he might have been itching a little bit to do something. And, cause you know, a creative guy as well. And I know he has an old radio kind of fetish like I do back in the day. And, so I think this will be his opportunity to explore that. So, you know, and I think his enthusiasm, you know, we're all young and crazy at one time when we start off. So, and I think his enthusiasm, I think he'll bring a lot to Alec and I and kind of recharge our batteries a little bit too. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, and, I will definitely keep you updated on this channel. And I'm sure obviously there'll be obviously, I'd like to think people that listen to this show will listen to that one as well, or at least give it a try. And, you know, maybe you don't like the group dynamic or you're not a current, you know, whatever, but I would hope you guys would all at least check out one episode, and I encourage you to do that and give it a chance at least. And, but I would think we're going to have a lot of the same audience, obviously. And, you know, an Alex group, audience from, the Five for Fighting show, I think will, obviously bleed over onto the new show, I think as well. So, yeah, it's just something I'm looking forward to creatively, something different and new. And, yeah, it's going to be fun to have some partners. So, we'll see how that goes. But again, there's no timetable right now or, you know, we're going to release it in April, you know, like, we're not quite sure yet, but we're still talking about it. But we did have our first kind of group meeting about it, and some good ideas got thrown around, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. So, Anyway, that's where we are with that. So, and if you happen to be on social media, Fourth Line Voice on Facebook as well as on Twitter, and on Instagram, I'm Fourth Line Voice THPN. Yeah, I'm still pretty hit and miss on Instagram. I don't know, but I'm on there as well as on YouTube. I have over 2,000 videos on my YouTube channel, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube. Please subscribe to the channel. And if you happen to be watching a fight video you like, hit the little thumbs up button. I know it sounds so corny, but it helps in the algorithms and it helps the channel out. As well as whatever podcast, whatever platform you're on, Spotify, iTunes, whatever you happen to be listening to this show on. If you could rate the show, the star rating at the top there, if you could rate it, that would be tremendous. Again, helps me out in the algorithms. And download, don't stream, because that's how I get paid. So, see, I'm honest with you guys. Hey, download, please. And, yeah, there we go. There's my PSA. But I just kind of keep you guys abreast of what's going on and that type of thing. So, all right. Well, let's get into this little, whatever we're going to call this, these shenanigans. Well, I was going to say, the last episode that I had has actually been received really well. And it's kind of a little series that I was really happy to bring back. I've done it about four times now. I call it the Season Ticket Series. And basically, we just do a certain year in a league. This is the second UHL one, United Hockey League one I've done. I did one with Anthony in the East Coast League. I believe it was 2009-2010 season, something like that. It escapes me at the moment, but it was an East Coast League. And then I had old Searson out in the UK. Again, the year is escaping me, but it was an Elite Hockey League season over in the UK. And basically, we just, you know, break down each team and the rosters and the top. Obviously, it's fight centered, tough guy centered, obviously. Talk about the tough guys on each team at the time. And, but we also talk about, like, if something funny happened on the team or in a season or, you know, we talk about some of the, obviously, the talented, or the talented players. It's kind of a backhanded compliment. You know, we talk about the score. It's not all just about the fighting. We talk about scoring. And I know with the one season there with the J, it was the 05-06 UHL season. It was the first year of Danbury. You know, that was an interesting season just because it was, well, there was a murder that happened. And well, actually, there was a murder in this last one, too. Well, you know, convicted or not convicted, but accused. Anyway, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, so there's always just these, Jay's always got, you know, some fun fact, little tidbits and a reality show guy and the whole deal. So he throws that out as we go down each roster and we talk about the champions that year and that type of thing. And Jay being the big fan in Quad City that he was, he's been to a number of the rinks. Those just things about the local establishments, the Fort Wayne strip clubs that are apparently in trilogies. Yeah, I'll have to talk to Scott about those. But, you know, all these little fun little facts. So, yeah, the last episode we did was the 2000-2001 United Hockey League season, which was my episode last week with Jay. And it was a lot of fun. And the feedback's been real positive on it. And it's a series that I would like to continue with people. And, yeah, so if you were kind of a season ticket holder of a certain team and during that season and we want to break it down and we'll go over that year and talk about the rosters and what happened and maybe some incidents or, you know, it's definitely something that I want to continue. And, you know, I'm not saying, oh, every 2 or 3 weeks we'll do one, but I certainly don't want to go. It would be nice, you know, maybe one every month or two, you know, just something to break up and try some different stuff. So, but yeah, I want to thank Jay again for coming on and doing that. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And like I said, I really enjoy those season ticket series. And, yeah, no, it was cool, man. But something I did want to bring up here at the start of the show, well, I guess it's 17 minutes in, I brought a few things up. But, no, getting on to the programming part, it was a funny little kind of conversation I had with a guest. He had been on my show, and I was getting his opinions on certain players in the league, and he gave them. And apparently one of the players must have listened to that episode and has since been kind of giving this gentleman some dirty looks at the games and everything, and apparently just took umbrage with what he was saying. And then later on, when he wanted to post one of the episodes, the group that he was wanted to post that wouldn't didn't really want to do it, and because he was talking shit or anyway, I found the whole thing actually sort of very eye rolling because I know there's a difference between personal attack and an opinion on performance. He never said, oh, you got a piece of shit and his mother's the whore of Omaha and all this. No one said anything like that. All it was he hasn't been doing a lot of fighting this year and it's been a little disappointing. And that was about it. And not sure what his problem is or whatever, but he hasn't really been fighting this year. And it's been a bit of a letdown. That was basically his comment. It wasn't, fuck this guy or this guy's an asshole or I wish we'd trade him or he's the shits. No. So basically, and you had up to that point, you had been in two fights. It was the halfway point of the year. So I don't know, what did he say exactly that was so incorrect? Seems pretty spot on if you ask me. And that's his opinion. And actually, it's funny enough, he's fought 4 times in 5 games since then. You must listen. But no, I just found it sort of eye-rolling. And it's more just... And again, and I've always said that with this show, and it goes with my guests. I mean, I'm not going to censor what my guests say. It's their, you know, it's them saying it. They can come on and say whatever they want. But he wasn't disrespectful to the player's ability or anything like that. It was just, he's been a little slow start this year. Again, 2 fights at the halfway point. I'd say that's a fairly accurate statement. So, yeah, so when I heard that the player was pissy about it, it was kind of like, ah, oh, come on, dude, really? Like, yeah, so anyway, I just found it. That bit really has no beginning or end or anything. I just sort of like, yeah, I just kind of found the story. Well, somewhat amusing, but at the same time, a little eye-rolling as well. I mean, maybe get some thicker skin then, I guess, or something. But, and I've always said that on this show, and I've been guests on shows, and I've said the same thing. I have never, and I never will, shit on an athlete. Because to me, I find the irony in that, where the Stephen A. Smiths and the, who's the other dork? Well, there's so many of them. But Jim Rome and all these clowns, they've made their living off shitting on athletes. And none of them, like, what credibility do you have? Like, what level of sport did you ever play to? I mean, they're a bunch of gym class heroes, you know, shit-talking elite-level athletes, which is basically all social media is. That's all these people do is go around and it's just, it's pathetic. Now, in saying that, I will call a player out on his actions, which I'm going to hear shortly. That has nothing to do with, I think he's a piece of shit, or he sucks, or I'm not saying anything like that. I am simply talking about the actions that he... his actions. And that's what I'm critiquing. I'm not talking about the players. What credibility do I have to knock anybody? Or the Stephen A. Smiths or anything like that. What credibility do they have to be shit-talking anybody? You know, an ex-player could say it because they have credibility. The gym class hero and the guy that was picked last for kickball? No. Every recess, like, no, you don't have any credibility. But sadly, people have made a living doing that. And basically, I think that's what social media is built on, is slandering others. So, but in saying that with the show, like I said, it, I said the same thing on Twitter and on Facebook. And if you don't believe, I said, I challenge anybody to go back among, if you have nothing but time, you can go back and check my 8 million tweets and everything else, and you find one when I shit-talk a player. I'll save you the time. You won't, because I never have. Again, I've shit-talked actions that they've done but not a player's ability. No. So there is a huge difference there. And like I said, I'll be getting into that here shortly. But, I was going to say, I've noticed, and I will say, well, now, Alec is done too, but outside of Joe's show, to be completely honest, I do not listen to hockey podcasts. I don't, like, I know even if, like, Nylund's had guys on and they've had tough guys on, seldom do I. Just because I'm so immersed in it now with my own show, and you're always doing research and posting pictures and everything. It's like, I don't listen to my own shit. I mean, why? I said it. I don't need to hear it. So I don't listen to my own show, but it's like, I don't want to listen to hockey podcasts. Anyway, in saying all that, the little shorts or the clips or the reels, I guess, as the kids say, on Facebook or on Twitter or what have you, the little minute and a half, 2 minute little clips. You know who's I'm really enjoying? Jay Rosehill. Obviously his podcast is called the Leafs Morning Take. But I really enjoy his, former tough guy, but it's obviously he's pro fight, but, he speaks very well. He makes a lot of solid points, and I like how he comes at it. And, again, I'm just throwing that out there. I'm a Jay Rosehill. I was a fan of him as a player, and, I'm a fan of his hot takes, I guess, as the kids say. But, yes, Jay Rosehill. There's a cat. We follow each other on social media. There's a dude I need to get on the show. So, we could talk some old AJHL stories. Yeah, the old Grizzlies. You'd have some stories, I bet. Well, all right. I guess we got to get into the Rempe thing here. Are you guys familiar with who Matt Rempe is? Oh, yes. It seems to be the name on everyone's lips these days. And, and as fight fans, when someone comes up and rattles some cages, we tend, get excited. It's something, because it doesn't happen that much anymore. And so when a 21-year-old kid comes up from the minors and starts fighting everybody and, win, lose, or draw, there's an excitement level to that. And, of course, last Saturday, the big build up with Reeves and, of course, at Hockey Night Canada, and they went at it. And, that was pretty cool and everything else. Well, it was the big return match against the New Jersey Devils last night. And, of course, the first time these teams played, of course, old Rempe ran over Nathan, Bastion. Gave him a really pretty good shot along the boards. I believe the kid's still out, still injured with a concussion. Pretty heavy shot. He got kicked out of the game, didn't get suspended for it. I don't think it was a suspendable hit. Rough shot. It was a rough hit. And like I said, with a dude 6'8 and like 250, leans into you, big moves hits you like that, you're going to feel it. And it was a good shot. And it was a tough shot. And New Jersey went out and immediately went and traded for Curtis McDermott from the Colorado Avalanche. And fast forward to last night, it's the rematch, New Jersey and the Rangers. And McDermott in the lineup, and everyone's building up the McDermott-Rempe battle. And sorry, folks, stop it. Starting here. It was built, and then it never happened. And like I said, McDermott was out there early trying to get him to go. And Rempe wouldn't fight. And and it's funny. Of course, social media has been all over this and blowing up here for the 24 hours. And the amount of crying and everything else. The thing that I find amusing about this, not amusing, but just sort of like shocking. What have I been saying forever? It goes back to, all these people that run around with their little code boners and love to yell about the code and respect and all this stuff. All this bullshit that you talk about is the reason why this happened last night or didn't happen, I guess. And it's just over and over and over again. And it's hockey in 2024 and it's hockey going forward. And this is what's going to continue to happen. Okay. I don't even know where to start with all this. Okay. So McDermott's trying to get him to fight. Rempe won't fight and on and on. And then later in the game, Rempe runs across the ice. And drilled, was it Jonenthaler or whatever? It was a pretty good, and everybody's calling it a chicken wing elbow and whatever. He got him with a pretty good shot. And he got suspended 4 games. That came out today. And he should have been suspended. I'm not going to try to justify the hit. I think the first one that he threw on the guy was okay last couple weeks back there. But this one, no. At the same time, I understand what Rempe's trying to do. You're just trying, he's a big guy, physical guy. He knows what he needs to do to stay in the NHL. And you're riding the line. And he's throwing a couple big hits. He's injured a couple people. He's gotten everybody wound up, yapping about him. And it's a fine line that you walk. And he went over it yesterday. Problem is, and then he gets the match penalty. Of course, as soon as he hits the guy and the guy goes down, well, holy shit, here comes McDermott, the shit off, and he's trying to get it Rempe, and the refs break it up right away and get in there, and nobody fights, and nobody polices anything, and it's all broken up and whatever, and then Rempe gets the game misconduct, the match penalty or whatever, and then as he's going off the ice, he's waving at McDermott, and he's waving at the bench, or whatever he was doing. It was like, that's like AAA midget shit. Like, it's just like, I don't know, it looks so cheesy. It's like, whatever, dude. And I have no problem with theatrics. I don't care about any of that shit, but it comes down to, and I said this on Twitter last night, You can either be a rat or a tough guy. You can't be both. And right now you're being both. And you, I see the argument where all these people are, oh, the code, the respect. He owed McDermott the fight. Or as the devil said, he owed us the fight. Yeah, like they're in one. I love that. The fan, he owed us a fight. Oh, he did he? And this is where 2024 hockey kind of rears its ugly head. And what these people that love to yell about code and respect don't seem to quite understand, or they don't realize that this is what all this bullshit has caused. Let me explain. So McDermott comes out and tries to get him to fight. Okay, he's not going to fight. Well, back in the day, he wouldn't have been given a choice. McDermott would have just grabbed him and started punching the shit out of him. And he would have just had to defend himself. And that's how the fight would have started. And McDermott would have maybe picked up an extra 2. And that would have been about it. And life goes on. Nowadays, with power plays the way they are and the way you grab a guy and start pounding him, you're going to either get tossed out or suspended, or he'll turtle and they'll give you the refs, of course, will give you 5 minutes to prove a point, and then holy shit. So if you're McDermott, you're kind of hamstrung because you just got traded to the team. He knows what he has to do. He's been around the league 8 years. I mean, he understands. I mean, he wasn't there with the first time they played when Bastion there got run over. But it's like, well, he understands what's going on and why he was brought in. Okay. But he also knows that he just can't grab Rempe. So again, this is where people love to talk that, oh, so-and-so is scared or so-and-so is intimidating and he puts the fear into people. I mean, let's be honest here. What is there to be scared? I'm not trying to sound like Mr. Tough Guy over here, but it's like, what is there to be scared of? If you don't want to fight, you don't have to. No one can do anything to you. It's a consequence-free hockey. Really? If you don't want to fight, you don't have to fight. You can run around and be a goof, as been proven by countless guys. I mean, you know, and they never have a fight in their career. Well, so, no, what is there to be scared of? So, Rempe or Reeves or McDermott or something lines up beside you. Oh, we're fucking going. Yeah, not tonight, bro. No, we're going to go. No. And he shakes his gloves at you a few times. Whatever. And that's what Rempe did. Didn't, you know. At the same time, it's like he's looking at the bench and Laviolette's, you know, whatever. And I'm sure, obviously, he's got the leash on him. Because he was doing the same thing in Toronto, looking at the bench. You know, which, I mean, that puts a player in a tough spot, too. I mean, just let him go out and react and create. I mean, I don't, why do you have to look to the bench? Like, what is this? Like, come on. But again, and Rempe, 21, rookie in the league. He doesn't want to get piss his coach off, because I'm sure they had the discussion before the game. Hey, and everyone knew, McDermott's coming. So this is what happens if he wants to defend yourself if he starts punching the shit out of you. But other than that, we're up right now. Eh, whatever. Don't bother. Let the sleeping dogs lie. Blah, 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 blah. You know, all the good 2024 bullshit. Okay. So, my problem becomes, and this is where, the code. You can't pick on people. Unfortunately, if McDermott asks Rempe to fight and Rempe's not going to give him the fight, then McDermott needs to create something. He needs to start running around and basically punching the shit out of the Rangers and just knocking them around. Basically do what Rempe's doing and force Rempe to do something. That's how you fight fire with fire. But this, you go out and respectfully challenge him and he turns you down. Well, like what, seriously, like I'm not being, again, what good are you? Like, you go out, so you don't do anything to anybody else, and you challenge him, and he says no. Well, then, then you can sit at the end of the bench then, because he's not going to fight you. So, what's it? You know, so what's the point? What's the point in all this? You know, and like I said, all these people that love to yell code, the code, so killed the enforcer. You can't enforce anymore. Because McDermott should have said, all right, big boy, you're not going to give me one? Then, you know, whatever. Fucking Trouba's getting it, or whoever's getting it. Like, you know, whatever. That's what should have happened. Clearly that didn't happen. And then, fast forward, and then he throws the big hit there on the elbow on the kid. Well, so clearly Curtis McDermott was not was certainly not a deterrent for anything. And this is the problem that lies in modern day current hockey. It's consequence free. I've said it ad nauseum on this show. And again, last night was another example to show. Curtis McDermott shouldn't have given Rempe a choice and just grabbed him and just started throwing and take the penalty that comes with it. But again, I understand the position McDermott's in. I understand the position Rempe's in. But my issue with Rempe is it's like, okay, if you're not... But, hey, he's trying to make a name and running around. And I will say, everybody keeps calling him the big goon and everything else. What they, you know, they can call him whatever they want. And he's always a piece of shit and he sucks and everything else. He won the face-off in the offensive zone, went to the front of the net for the screen on the game-winning goal. So, you know, a big dude gets in front of the net. He's been pretty effective. He's got a goal, and I believe he's a plus on the season and wins his draws. So, you know, he's not just a goof as much as you might want to cry about it. And I will say, as I go through social media and you know, you read the idiots and everything else. And if you're a Devils fan, I get why you're frustrated with him. He didn't fight McDermott and then he runs that and he does all that. And he's playing the heel. I mean, okay. My only issue again, as always with these fans. And I did see a YouTube channel, Running with the Devils. And it was interesting because I watched his video from a couple of nights earlier. It was a preview basically of the McDermott Reeves or McDermott Rempe fight, and he had the old time boxing poster type graphic on there, and you know, and it was a good little video, and he was pumping the fight up and everything else. Well, his next video, of course, after the incident, oh, he's yelling about Rempe being a coward and he's having a meltdown, and it's like, well, all right, but again, you're going on and on about the code and everything else. It's like, well, the code caused all this. And I keep saying that because, as I said, he asked them, and Rempe's supposed to say yes. Like, again, it's this, like, this Marcus of Queensberry, you owe me a jolly good tussle, sir, and let's go to center ice and have a respectful duke out. It's like, no. It's, motherfucker, I'm kicking the shit out of you. You say no, someone on your team's going to get it, is what should be. But this code horse shit is so ingrained now, the players believe it. This generation of player believes in this horse shit. And again, this is what happens. They can just keep saying no, 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 no. So this guy's having a meltdown about it. And, you know, the one thing I will say, and it's like, I have a hard time taking, like, team podcasts like that serious, like, because if Rempe played for the Devils, let's be honest, you would pull every excuse in the book to stick up for him. But since he played for the Rangers, you were complimentary of him in the episode, but I will say that. But clearly, you're shaded in your judgment. Oh, and he's a coward, and he's this, and oh, he's going to go back to the American League Goon Show. It's like, what are you talking about, the American League Goon Show? It was just like, come on, man. You know, and I mean, I don't watch this guy's shows regularly. I don't know what his name is, but I just saw that clip, and I kind of found it. Well, and it always running around throwing cheap shots. He doesn't answer the bell. The irony of it, as he's sitting in his room there, he has a giant poster of Scott Stevens, an autographed Scott Stevens picture, laying out Korea, which was, yeah, the irony, cheap shot, you know, and did he answer for it? You know, it's kind of okay. You know, it just struck me funny anyway. But I get what he was getting at and stuff. But at the same time, you know, am I going to start yelling that Rempe's a coward and stuff? No. Like I said, he's 21, trying to navigate his way through the league. Fortunately, it looks like he has to look over to his coach for permission. And that's just ridiculous. But, yeah, he should have fought McDermott. But the whole waving at the bench thing, it's like, dude, you've been in the NHL for 6 minutes. And again, if you want to play the rat role, all right, but you can't be the rat role and the tough guy role. They don't work, and you got to be one or the other. And, now I'm not saying you got to fight every time you're challenged, because no, but, you know, there are things you need to do. And, but again, at the same time, I put a lot of it on McDermott too, and the Devils for not forcing the issue. Start running the Rangers then, and you didn't. I know McDermott, I don't know how many games, he's played 30-some games this year. Been in one fight. You know, and the same thing, you know, with some of these guys, it's like, are you so ingrained into this respect code thing that you don't, it's almost like you don't create anything anymore. Like, are you trying, like, is that, well, maybe it is. I don't, is it that hard to get into a fight in the NHL these days? Like, if your existence is a tough guy in the league and you have one fight in 30 games, it's like, well, are you really relevant? Like, it's not, really? Although, I guess in saying that, I mean, it's the same thing with Reeves. I mean, he's been averaging, like, two fights a year for the last, like, 4 or 5 years. At the same time, though, he is up there amongst the league leaders in hits. So he's clearly running around and hitting people. I guess it's just hard to find a fight these days, I suppose. But I don't know if it's, how hard are you trying too? And, I think there's a real lack of, creating havoc too, or, just, like I said, it's just consequence free hockey. And, you know, I don't know. It's, but if you're just going to go out and ask the guy respectfully to fight and then he says no and you just sort of shrug your shoulders and then, oh, but don't make me come back out here, and well, you're useless. I mean, basically, Curtis McDermott's useless at this point, you know, and I like him. I'm not knocking him. It's not like, oh, you know, whatever, but what did you do? Like, so then why didn't you do that to a Ranger? You know, because all the code. I mean, I'm not saying you got to go diving headhunt elbow somebody, but I mean, I mean, you lost the guy, you lost the game, and you didn't, there was no fight. I mean, Jesus, what, you know, why not just tell McDermott to take a suspension then? Run one of their guys. I mean, that sounds so caveman, but it's just like, that's the only way they're going to learn, you know? And, you know, and where does this leave Matt Rampe? I mean, I don't know how the Rangers feel about it. I mean, I don't think they really care. They understand what he's trying to do. I would like to hope they would recognize that they put him in a situation that's not good. Cause that was, if he has to look to get the green light, that's not good. And, you know, and then, but an older Ranger guy needs to pull him aside and be like, cut the waving bullshit out and all this. Hey, if you kick the shit out of somebody and whatever, and then want to wave at him when he's leaving, all right, because it'll be like, I kicked the shit out of you, now I'm going to salt in the wound, sure. But, I mean, this guy's been challenging you all game. You say no, say no, say no. And then as you're leaving the game, you're waving at him. You just look like a bitch, dude. And, you know, somebody needs to sit this guy down and kind of straighten him out. And that's, you know, young guy learning. This isn't junior. That shit might play in junior, but... maybe get a few more miles on you in the NHL before you start kind of pulling that shit. But, like I said, you can't be a rat and a tough guy. You gotta be one or the other. And, I mean, either or, I don't give a shit, but it's just like, yeah, you can't, yeah, it was just a bad look for Rempe last night. I mean, you know, am I going to throw him out with the bathwater or anything? No, I don't give a fuck, you really, but, you know, it's, but anytime a guy has to play on the edge, shit like that's going to happen. But I think McDermott needs to force the issue. And I think it was just, it was just that whole, all last night was just, that was modern day hockey and everything that was wrong with it. And like I said, I know all these fighters and all these fight fans that love to yell about the code and have this romantic look at fighting. That's what caused all the bullshit yesterday. And that's what's causing the lack of fighting. Because it's like, oh, you can't be a bully and you can't do this. You have to be a respectful warrior. And this generation of players been brainwashed into this. And again, I'm not saying you got to go out, grab a guy's head, slam it in the ice and all that horse shit. I'm not talking that extreme either. But I'm at the same time, it's like, teams won cups bullying people. So I think you should probably lean a little bit onto that, especially when you're that big. And, yeah. And if they're not going to, answer for their actions, then force their hand. And you can't, and the problem is you can't force their hand anymore, and the players can't police the game anymore. And that became glaring yesterday. And, yeah, so it was unfortunate, but, yeah, we'll see going forward what happens, but all the, oh, he's gonna be back in the minors, never see the NHL again. Like, what are you talking about? I doubt it. If anything, he's just strengthening his position. They understand what he's there to do. And I'm sure they'll talk to him. And there's always a few hiccups and a few wrinkles that they have to iron out. But I think for the most part, by all accounts, he's playing well and doing his role. And he's giving the Rangers a different dimension that they don't have. And, he's dangerous. There's nothing wrong with having dangerous. No matter what the media might say, and fans, apparently. But anyway, moving on, I should probably do a little sponsor here, and then we'll get into a couple lists.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Yeah, Connor Bedard's back. Anytime scoring prop for him is plus 330. Oilers, the favorite Stanley Cup futures ticket, plus 700 right now, followed by Boston and Colorado at plus 850. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Okay, as I was saying earlier, the best of the East in the Western Hockey League, who were the toughest guys of the 90s? It's a pretty solid list, the Western Hockey League. What the newspapers used to do in the East, and they did it in the West as well, but we'll do the East tonight. As I said, I've covered these lists before over the years, but I condensed it all to the top from 1990 to the year 2000. The top guy in each year. And as I said, the newspaper gave ballots to coaches and players, and they weren't allowed to vote for their own team. But so this is a peer-based review here, so it doesn't get much better than that. But we'll get into it here. 1990, number one fighter was Scott Daniels in Regina. Of course, the Chief there, he went on to play in the NHL. Yeah, 1991, Dan Kordick of Medicine Hat Tigers. Of course, again, another guy went on to the NHL, had a little bit of a run in the NHL. Big Dan Kordick, I met him at Ice Wars, at Ice Wars 2 in Edmonton. Nice guy, talked to him for a little while. He said his toughest fight he ever had was against Jerry Fleming in the American Hockey League. Little fun fact for you. 1992, another Medicine Hat Tiger. Yeah, the Tigers had tough teams, boy, in the 90s. Ooh. Clayton Chuck Norris. Clayton Norris voted best fighter in 1992. Of course, he went on, played in the minors for a while. Really made a name for himself over in the UK. I know he was a big, I know Searson was a fan, fan favorite over in the UK. But Clayton Norris. 1993, Brent Myers, the Lethbridge Hurricanes. And yeah, I can remember Brent Myers coming to town, and I saw a bit of his handiwork. Yeah, massive dude, left-handed, could hang one on you. And our tough guy at the time was Rhett Tremblay, who was no slouch, who won far more than he lost. But Myers hung one on him a couple times. And yeah, Myers, man, left-handed, played in the NHL for a while. You guys know who he is, tough dude. 1994, another Medicine Hat Tiger, Justin Hocking. He was a really high draft pick, too, I believe, by the LA Kings. And I don't think he had any NHL time, but, bounced around the American League for a while. Yeah. 1995, I did not have that list. Then 1996, 1997, back-to-back wins, Rocky Thompson. Of course, in 1996, he was playing for the Medicine Hat Tigers. In 1997, he got traded to the Swift Current Broncos. But, yeah, Rocky, man. I love me some Rocky Thompson. The old Chuck and Duck, he had the long hair. It was like a real-life Hanson brother. And gold gloves boxer, legit boxer. And, yeah, man, tough guy. And One of a couple good fights that I have with Rocky. I have a bunch of Rocky fights on my YouTube channel, but I have a couple Western League fights. Really good fight, Sass Place with Wade Belak. Another really good fight in Kelowna with Scott Parker. And that one was sort of billed like the heavyweight championship of the league, Parker and Rocky. And check it out on my YouTube channel. I'll let you decide who wins. 1998, Stephen Pete playing for the Red Deer Rebels. Yeah, man, Petey was a tough guy and, lately has had his troubles off the ice or away from the game. And, hopefully, those get remedied. But, he was, in the Western League, man, came up as a 16-year-old, immediately fought Rocky Thompson, Kyle Friedrich, Parker. Like, it was, did not take a backward step from anybody despite his age. And yeah, he could throw down. Speaking of Friedrich in 1999, Kyle Friedrich, Regina, massive mountain of a man. Unfortunately, concussions shortened his career, but probably had one of the greatest fights of all time against Ryan Vandenbosch in the preseason when he was playing for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Friedrich was something. What a monster. Holy. And I just threw in the year 2000, of course, and it was Stephen Pete again, who was playing for Calgary at the time. And a funny thing with that is Pete, in the voting, Eric Goddard was second, which is surprising because, again, if you go to my Western Hockey League or to my YouTube channel, I have the Western Hockey League showdown between Pete and Goddard, and I'll let you watch who wins that one. But, those were the two sort of kingpins of the league at the time clashing. And actually, they fought a couple times. And I have both of their fights up on my YouTube channel. So I encourage you to go check those out. And interesting result, we'll put it that way. But, there you go. The best of the East of the 90s. Some good names there. Most of them obviously went on to the NHL. What a time in the Western League. It was just, it really was the who's who. And then... I'm going to gather the best in the West ones, and maybe next episode we can do the 90s ones from the West, and it's like Seattle, Kelowna, Spokane, Tri-Cities, etc. So yeah, we'll look into that. But it's fun going through those lists and seeing the names because a lot of good memories, that's for sure. Well, the one final thing that I'm going to do here, as I said, it was a blog written by my boy Dave there at the Hockey Fight History, and I'm pretty sure I've covered this before, but as a shout-out to Hockey Fight History, who took a couple-year sabbatical, if you will, from Twitter, and he's back now, and he's been back for a little while. I encourage you to check him out on social media. Always putting up pictures and fights, and he's an old fight collector from way back. We've done a lot of trades back in the day. And, shout out to him. I hope he's listening. In his blog history, it was the top 10 heavyweights from the NHL Prospect Tournament in Traverse City, Michigan, from 1998 to 2012. Prospect Tournament was the Detroit Red Wings, the Blues, Blue Jackets, Predators, Blackhawks, Atlanta Thrashers, Dallas Stars, Wild. Were the teams that were involved in this. Okay, as prefaces, I wrote this as my very first blog post back in 2011. Even in the four short years since then, I'm editing this as of 2020. So now it's been 9 years, how time flies. Much has changed in the hockey fight landscape. I've tidied this post up a bit and updated part of it. Otherwise, here's my annual prospect tournament post from the all-time toughest players / best fighters to attend the tournament. A brief history. I've been attending the Prospect Tournament on and off for past 15 years. The tournament began in 98 and served as an opportunity for NHL teams to get an early look at their June NHL entry draft picks, young undrafted free agent invitees, as well as other prospects already drafted or within their respective minor league systems. Below are the teams that participated in past tournaments. Detroit, Columbus, St. Louis, Chicago, Nashville, Washington, Minnesota, New York Rangers, Dallas, and Atlanta, and Carolina. Present. I recently read a blog post listing the top NHL players that have played in this annual tournament, prompting me to immediately think about not only the best players I've seen play, but rather the toughest. I've been a fan of hockey fights and players who have performed that role for as long as I can remember, and found categorizing these players to be much more near and dear to my heart. It's a shame that today's game has been trying to phase these aspects out of the game. The list, some of the names you will immediately recognize, while others might be a bit more of a mystery to you, YouTube them. I created this list from memory, although I have every tournament program from the years I attended, which have been greatly helped to, for me to finalize my list. But I was so excited to get this going that I'm changing on the fly, as they say, down the ice. Without further ado, here's my list. The top 50 toughest, best fighters to ever attend the NHL Prospect Tournament. Okay. Well, he does a top 10. I will scroll down to that, and then I will throw out some honorable mentions after. But we'll start at 10. Number 10, former guest of the show, Riley Emerson, Minnesota. After Derek Bugard became a household name in Minnesota, the Wild thought they got his twin brother, at least stature-wise, when they took big Riley Emerson, 199th overall, in the 05 entry draft. Emerson, who stands 6'8", 248, has paid his dues playing in the various North American and European leagues the past several seasons, another big-time enforcer from the Western Hockey League. Number 9, Radis Ivanons, Detroit. Another former NHL tough guy who got his start by accepting a free agent invitation from the Red Wings to the Traverse City tournament. He spent his time with Montreal, LA, and Calgary during his NHL career. His season was cut short during the 2010-11 with just one game when he suffered a concussion during a fight versus Steve McIntyre. The big Latvian has played 282 NHL games during his 14-year professional career. Number 8, Trevor Ettinger, Columbus Blue Jackets. Another tragic story among the Enforcer Brotherhood. Former Quebec Enforcer and Columbus prospect Trevor Ettinger was drafted by Edmonton in the 98 draft. He was a free agent invitee to the tournament by Columbus in 99. He made enough of an impression where he was signed by the Blue Jackets, sent to their East Coast affiliate in Dayton for some professional seasoning. Trevor kicked around Syracuse in the American League as well before he took his own life on July 26th, 2003. He finished his last professional season with the Crunch in the American Hockey League. Tough customer who's fondly remembered by the fans who grew close during his time in major junior and professional hockey. Yeah, it's a really sad story with Trevor Ettinger, but man, he's a tough dude. If you want to go back and YouTube him, man, he could have been something. Number 7, Matt Cassian. Minnesota Wild prospect Matt Cassian has been waiting for his call for the current club for the better part of four seasons. Finally got his shot in the 2010 season. Big Cass played four games with the Wild that year and fought another tournament alumni, Jared Bull of the Blue Jackets. He also fought veteran Jody Shelley that year. He later signed with the Ottawa Senators, played two seasons there before falling victim to the blackballing of enforcers put forth by the NHL, or so it would seem. Matt played a total of 76 regular season NHL games, considered one of the top WHL fighters during his time in the league. Holy, my voice is dying here. Sorry, folks. We'll get through it. Number 6, Graham Bielak, the younger brother of former NHLer Wade Bielak. Free agent invitee by the St. Louis Blues. Graham played roughly 6 years of pro hockey at the minor league level in North America and overseas prior to hanging up the blades after the 2005-2006 season. He's actually an RCMP officer now. Not the pugilistic force Wade was, but no walkover either. Cut his teeth in the Western League and usually fared well in his tilts. Yeah, he did. Big kid. Yeah, tough guy. You go back and look at some of his minor league fights. He could hang in there. He certainly wasn't afraid to stick his chin out and go for it. He definitely has the Bielak look for sure. Big kid. Number 5, Tim Spencer, St. Louis Blues. Tim was probably another non-household name, but he's making a name for himself as he climbs the minor league ranks. He's shown that he has what it takes to play the physical game at the lower levels. Now needs a chance from someone to show what he can do in the NHL. Tough forward finally got a break last season when Washington dressed him in a preseason game. Bounced around in North America and across the pond. Hopefully an NHL team will give him another shot in the near future. He's as tough as they come, exciting, skilled fighter looking for a break. His recent fight with minor league legend John Morasty is worth YouTubing. Tim is lacing them up in the American Hockey League. Number 4, DJ King, another tough Western kid who got his start at the Traverse City Tournament, former NHL. DJ last played for the Washington Capitals 2010-2011 season after being traded by St. Louis, the team that drafted him. DJ would go on to play 118 regular season NHL games before retiring from hockey in 2012-2013. Number 3, Mike Segroy, who was in the tournament with the Detroit Red Wings. While Segroy may not be a household NHL name to most people, anyone that follows the minor league circuit will know Mike was a very active East Coast American League brawler He was donned the shirt of many minor league teams. He's also dabbled in the MMA fighting when he hasn't been playing hockey. Very tough competitor who got a start in Traverse City. And another fighter somehow got a start from playing college and then with the Detroit Red Wings inviting him to Traverse City as a free agent. Suited up for two games last year with the East Coast Orlando Solar Bears. I have no idea who he was until he took on longtime NHLer Darcy Hordachuk at center ice during the 2000 tournament. Mike was also fortunate enough to play one preseason game with the Red Wings that year as well. Yeah, Segroy, by his own admission, probably did not help his cause. It kind of probably kept himself out of the NHL. But he definitely had the size. Solid player, actually. Good skater. Big guy. He should have had an NHL career. Probably maybe 10 years too late. But yeah, tough guy, though, for sure. And really fun guy on social media, actually, on Facebook. Really interactive. He's, you know, he'll always comment on pictures. And if you ask him a question, he's always right there. And he runs a hockey skill school as well as an MMA trainer. Number two, Brian McGrattan, Detroit. For a team that rarely gives any sort of toughness a second look these days, the Red Wings have invited the then free agent Brian McGrattan to Traverse City for a look-see after he remained unsigned by the LA Kings, the team that drafted him in 1999. While he never played a game for the Red Wings, Brian's rambunctious physical and aggressive style would get him noticed by other NHL teams looking to add toughness to the roster. McGrattan, or Big Earn, as he affectionately known, would go on to play for the Ottawa Senators in a full-time role from 05 to 2008. He also suited up for the Flames, Predators, and Phoenix Coyotes. Yeah, Big Earn, man, one of the toughest to ever do it. American Hockey League penalty minute champ. Was a 551 one year. I don't need to sell you guys on Brian McGrattan. I'm a big fan of Brian's, and you know, battled sobriety, got sober. He actually works with the Calgary Flames as an addictions counselor and, has mentored a lot of guys. I know Jordan Tutu, Michael Ferland, just a couple guys that, McGrattan has, pulled out of the fire, so to speak. So, doing good work and, staying sober, and it's good to hear. And number one, Derek Boogaard, former Minnesota Wild, New York Ranger, recently passed away this past season at the tender age of 28. Drafted 202nd overall in the 01 draft. He played three seasons in the minor leagues prior to playing the next five in the NHL for the Wild, where he became an instant fan favorite. Considered one of the best fighters ever to lace them up, he signed as a free agent with the Rangers prior to the 2010 season. He ended up playing 22 games before complications from a fight with Matt Carpenter ended his season. Other ongoing problems from the condition kept him out of the lineup. Derek Boogaard died at his Minnesota apartment May 13, 2011 from a lethal mixture of oxycodone and alcohol. I will personally never forget Derek smashing through the glass at his first tournament. The footage was shot by my buddy and myself and was submitted to ESPN, who showed the footage during their top 10 most smashing NHL moments countdown around 2003. Yeah, if you type in Boogaard through the glass, you'll see what Dave's talking about here, and that is the footage that they shot. Actually, and another thing, if you want to look up, Boogaard and Brian McGrattan had a great fight in the Traverse City tournament, and that is, of course, on Dave's channel and, History of Hockey Fights. And, I always say with Dave and, the couple of the guys that he went up there with, thank you, gentlemen, for being the camcorder ninjas back in the day. You had to sneak that stuff in. And they recorded a lot of great fights, and that footage would never, you know, would never be seen if it wasn't for them. You know, just some random rinks in Michigan, and they're there filming, and they got some great stuff. Like I said, where are you going to see Brian McGrattan with the Detroit Red Wings, Mike Segroy with the Red Wings, fighting Darcy Hordachuk of the Atlanta Thrashers? Yeah, all this stuff is on YouTube, and I highly recommend you check it out. There's some great stuff on there. I'll throw a few honorable mentions out here while my throat's still kind of hanging in there. Darcy Hordachuk, former NHLer player, 11 seasons in the NHL. First professional fight was against Mike Segroy at the Traverse City tournament. Veteran winger went on to play 542 games in the NHL. Josh Gratton played in Atlanta. If you're bored, YouTube, yeah, Josh Gratton, Colton Orr. And, well, Josh Gratton and Brian McGrattan is probably one of the best hockey fights you'll ever see. Update, That was where, yeah, he signed with the Manchester Monarchs in 2015 and helped him win a Calder championship, his second of his career. Yeah, some solid. Jay Rosehill, Tampa Bay. Speaking of Big Rosie, he got his big break with the Leafs 2 seasons. Played 41 games for Brian Burke's Leafs. Never wanted to shy away from the rust stuff. He ride shotgun with Colton Orwell with the Leafs and recently with the Philadelphia Flyers. Anthony Peluso in St. Louis. Jared Bull with Columbus. He had just come off of with the Plymouth Whalers and ended up playing 488 NHL games. Yeah, man. He kind of a Jackets lifer there. I always liked Jared Bull. That's a guy that doesn't really get talked about a lot, but man, that guy threw down, fought everybody. I should do a player spotlight on Jared Bull. I was a big fan. Luke Gazdick got his start with Dallas at the Traverse City tournament. Dylan McArath with the Rangers. Tom Cestito with Columbus. Josh Caron with Minnesota. Josh Caron, for those that don't know, he turned his head, a very impressive rookie tournament in 2010. Took on all comers, never looked outmatched. Minnesota signed him immediately following his free agent tryout in Traverse City. Played defense in the Western League, made the switch to wing. Unfortunately, I'll just look at his hockey DP here real quick. Oh, I'll have to back it up here. He didn't play very long. I don't know if he got hurt or just kind of lost the passion. But at that time when he was in the Western League, he was widely considered the toughest guy in the Western Hockey League. And, kind of had the belt, so to speak. And there was a lot of hype with him coming out of junior. I was really interested to see what he would do. And, unfortunately he didn't stick around very long as a pro. The best of the rest, in no particular order. Yeah, David Kozelka played with the Atlanta in the tournament. Kyle Neuber with Columbus. Brad Voss with St. Louis. Nate Kaiser with Detroit. Robin Big Snake with the Detroit Red Wings. Miles Stays in Atlanta. Randy Ponte with Nashville. Jordan Tutu with Nashville. Sean Avery with Detroit. Daryl Bootlin in Detroit. Danek Paquette playing with Laval in the LNH. He got drafted by the Atlanta Thrashers. Ty Jones in Chicago, Jamie Benn was with Dallas in the tournament. Lee Salters at St. Louis. It was just a really solid tournament. And man, hockey fight history on YouTube. Check it out. He's got all of his Traverse City stuff up. Some of the fight, Nate Kaiser and Josh Gratton, Stays, Luke Gazdick, Devin Didomide, Anthony Peluso, Randy McNaught, Josh Caron. There was a heavyweight title bout from the Western League. But yeah, Dave does a tremendous job. Adam Huxley was with Washington in the tournament. Matt Nickerson was with Dallas in the tournament. So yeah, lots of great names went through Traverse City. And with my age and everything else, I'm glad I grew up in the era that I did. I always say with the fight fans, I got to see all the good stuff. And I know we always back in the old fried chicken message board days and stuff. We always look forward for Dave's reports from Traverse City and how the prospects were doing and who fought who, and then. Really look forward to when he compiled all his video footage and put out his annual preseason tape. And what guys would do on the boards is they would actually film, in their town if there was a preseason game or the local news. Everybody would record and then send all that footage to Dave, and he would compile a preseason tape. It sounds so archaic now, but it was VHS back then. But he did that for a number of seasons. So there's lots of cool, like, guys filming stuff in camcorders and way away local suburban rinks. And, you got Bissonnette and Carcillo at Pittsburgh camp and all that good stuff. And, preseason untelevised, because this is before they televised all this shit and the internet and all that. There was no internet games and all that. So you relied on people to record local news broadcasts and stuff like that. So. And it's a real timepiece, real time capsule piece to go back and watch these old tapes. Well, they're on, you know, transferred into DVD now, but yeah, lots of great stuff. And I always want to take time out to thank Dave and I won't start calling out everybody's names, but there was lots of guys that recorded back then and filmed news broadcasts and if it wasn't for those guys and filming that stuff and putting it on YouTube, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it today, and I couldn't tell you to go to YouTube and watch Bugard and McGrattan in Traverse City. Nobody would know about it. It'd be lost to time. But thankfully, Dave and his crew filmed it, and we get to see it, and it'll live forever on the internet. So there you go. The good old days. Camcorder Ninjas. So I'm pretty sure I've done that list before, but I thought it certainly bears repeating. So there you go. And I apologize for my voice, but play through it. Rub some dirt on it. Get back out there. I wanted to get this episode out to you guys, and thank you very much for tuning in. As I always say, there's many podcasts to listen to. The fact that you chose to listen to mine, I really do appreciate it, and thank you. And please, I encourage you, if you're new here, please check out the back catalog. Lots of great player interviews. As I said with Riley Emerson, check his interview out. It's, he tells some, imagine it was him, Bugard, and John Scott were in one camp together. And then Matt Cassian shows up too. Oh, Jesus. What was the Wild trying to do? Start a basketball team? Good stuff. But anyway, folks, I got to get out of here, do something about this throat. But we'll talk to you guys this weekend. Thanks, everybody.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?